This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good morning, Melbourne. Welcome to your most important meal of the day. This is Get Serial with your Thursday team, James.
Hello.
Myself, Trisha, and Brendan.
Hey.
Coming up this morning, we'll be listening to tracks from The Kite String Tangle, G Flip, and Coldplay, as well as some tunes from the Sin Sweet 16. We'll be talking about the success of caretaker coaches in the AFL during Trisha and Sport, and if the government should be paying Instagrammers to promote Aussie tourism. We also have an interview with Aussie artist Odyssey S and her new track. And later on in the morning, we'll be joined in the studio by Havard Christie and Evard Christie, who have created a comedy drama feature film, Hang On To Your Hangers. But first, here's Where the City Meets the Sea by The Getaway Plan. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Get Serial on Sin.
Woo! You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan this morning. Just heard Chastity Belt by... Sorry, is it a Chastity Belt by Elena or Elena by Chastity Belt? Now I'm confused. Regardless, it's a Sweet 16 song this time around. So hope you enjoyed that one. Definitely wrap your ear holes around it as much as you can. We're going to have a bit of a chat about things we've learnt this week to start off. We'll start off in a bit of a relaxed nature. First of all, how are you guys?
Yeah, I'm great. Brendan, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Trisha?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
That's good. You're doing better than me trying to work out the artist and the song title there. What have you learnt this week? What's news?
I don't learn much, so...
You're at university, man. Come on.
He doesn't do the learning. No. I do the learning and give it to him.
You too. Oh, my goodness. What would you do without Trisha then?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of the glue to my life almost.
All right. Calm down the love fest, guys.
No.
I learned this week that dreams can come true. I had a beautiful moment on campus. I was walking down the RMIT campus, you know, minding my own business. It was morning.
Was it this morning?
No. I wasn't particularly excited because uni. And then I saw a brandless kombucha truck, and it had a little tub full of bottles of kombucha. And I took a bit of a look and kind of stood there for a moment and went, is this real? Am I imagining this? And then a girl came over and said, do you want some free kombucha? And I went, do I want some free kombucha?
Of course you do.
Do I want some free kombucha? Yes, I do. And I certainly got my free kombucha, and my entire week was better for it. So
you know, I've never had kombucha.
What?
Oh. Everyone
are you even
just
from
looked at
Melbourne?
Me. No, that's it. I've never tried it.
Okay.
Are we having some after the show?
I think so.
Okay, let's do it.
I think we're going to have to...
I'm going to learn about the greatness of it.
First bombshell of the morning.
I reckon.
Tom Denham's in the studio and he just stood up nice and erect right there as you sent that.
Yes, Tom Denham was very erect just then. Our EP, for those who don't know.
we've lost it this morning.
Getting started, rolling nicely. What about you, Trisha? What have you learned this week?
Well, yesterday I was telling James and a group of uni friends about my intentions of possibly looking at an international internship.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's in South Africa. And I said to the boys...
do you want me to explain it?
Okay.
I'm sorry to take over, but she's like, we're going to an intern. I might be going on an internship to South Africa.
Is this the definition of mansplaining?
It gets better. Anyway, so she's like, I'm thinking about going on an internship to South Africa. The only problem is I don't know how to speak South African.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know.
Now, all listeners out there, South Africans mainly speak English. Trisha didn't know that. Trisha was very confused.
Stop talking about Trisha in a third person? I honestly didn't know. And I said to them, like, there'd be one of the few things stopping me is because I'd have to learn another language. I didn't need to learn another language.
I mean, to be fair, they do speak multiple languages over there. So to get technical for a second, they do speak Afrikaans, which is a dialect of Dutch in a way that's kind of developed over a few hundred years because many of the original settlers, they were Dutch. There you go. There's your boring fact of the day.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you learnt this week, is it?
Yeah. And they also have a variety of, you know, indigenous languages as well. But yes, they do speak English, even if they do speak it with a unique accent.
So it looks like I'll be going on this internship then.
Hey, there you go. Now, Danny, our producer, is in the studio today, and you had some things you learnt this week as well. One of them is that life can go on without a clipboard. Is that right?
I don't know. We're still figuring it out.
I'm struggling.
Trisha's struggling.
Usually I bring a clipboard with like what we're going to do with the show today. And last night, 6 p.m., which like I could have made it to office work, so I could have made it to a printing store. So now I'm...
Poor form, Danny. Poor form.
I'm so sorry. Could have made it to a printing store, but... Yeah, I realised I ran out of printing ink. So,
Done.
I'm regretting it already.
Does the world feel like it's a bit off its axis? Everything a bit off tilt?
Completely off its axis.
Oh, dear. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin here. We might jump into another track quickly. This is Killing Time by the Kite String Tangle, a new one out this week. It's an acoustic edition of this one. Bit of a language warning, so definitely cover your ears if you don't like naughty words. Listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
And that was Stupid by G-Flip. Massive fan of the show on our socials, that's for sure. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Now it's time for my favourite segment of the week, and that is Trisha on Sport.
No bias at all there.
Oh, it definitely is. I'm pretty sure Ridiculous Quiz is Brendan's favourite.
Guilty.
See? I don't know. Oh, James's relationship experiences.
Yeah, not running this week, unfortunately.
Oh, tears everywhere. Anyway, let's get back
Anyways, into it. So this week we are going to be discussing the success of caretaker coaches, particularly in the AFL. So yesterday we saw that Carlton committed to current caretaker coach David Teague, so he has signed on as full-time senior
Very
coach.
Nice.
Yeah, oh, so you like this?
I do like this.
Yeah. So this year as well, we saw in particular Rhys Shaw took over at North Melbourne. He then led the Kangaroos to win 4 of the next 5 games that was under his control. David Teague coached Carlton to 5 of his first 7 coached. Yep, that sounds about right.
Yep.
Bit of a tongue twister there. So I wanted to throw to you boys, do you think that it is appropriate to be able to sack coaches mid-season?
Of course it is. Look what both Carlton and North Melbourne have done since sacking their coach. Carlton beat Brisbane. Brisbane is top of the ladder, second on the ladder, equal top.
We've got Danny celebrating in the studio here. Brisbane girl.
A loyal Brisbane fan. Goes to all their games.
Look, I do admit at first I thought it was a bit of the luck of the new coach. I tipped Carlton like that game and I was stoked for it. I don't know. I know you can drop a player during season, but they come back.
So you're mad Collingwood.
Oh, I sure
Imagine if Collingwood was in the state of Carlton in the first 6 rounds. Would you be calling for Nathan Buckley's head?
All right.
Metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
So in those few years where Collingwood was doing not good, let's just put it that way, I think I was one of the few people that tried to not blame Nathan Buckley. It's your
but
team.
If you got the outcome of what Carlton's getting now, you're not complaining.
But I think you make an interesting point there, Trisha, which is that they were kind of in that situation with Buckley only a few years ago.
And Richmond
with
Hardwick
the
same.
Yeah, and they chose to persevere, and both teams have now reaped the rewards. One made a grand final last year, the other one won a grand final
the year before. Exactly.
I find it a really interesting... I think there's a broader sort of conversation to be had here about the value of coaches in sport and how important they actually are, because sometimes you sit at home and you wonder, do they actually matter that much? I mean, they're
sometimes
not running around
the playing
field.
Group. You just don't know.
But there's been an immediate bounce for these couple of teams. North Melbourne and Carlton, sure, they've also played some easier teams, I think, which has helped. But they've both really increased their win percentage since sacking their coaches.
If Trisha asked me this question last year, I would have had a completely different answer.
That's
I would have said that, no, I would have said, no, you don't sack coaches in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
I'd say, be loyal to your coach. But seeing what North Melbourne and Carlton have done this season... with their caretaker coaches. Maybe they're just really good coaches. Who knows? And even now St Kilda with Radden has won a couple of games since he's come in. So I don't know. It has made a difference in this season compared to previous seasons.
Yeah, and look, sacking coaches is now kind of sexy. It's kind of in. I'm wondering, now that you win games from it, do you think more of them are going to end up doing it?
I think so. I think the bottom teams, they're just... It is the in thing, isn't it? So I think the bottom teams, if they start losing more, they're going to be quick to jump the gun.
Yeah.
And they'll get a new coach.
For sure. And the follow-up...
They want to kind of get along with the trends.
The follow-up question I'd ask you, Tricia, is...
Oh, me now.
Oh, yeah, I know. Look out. Do you think it's appropriate to then confirm those interim coaches as permanent coaches, as has been done with David Teague and...
Reshaw.
Thank you.
I think decisions like this should be waited to the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
They should have a formal coaching kind of appointment set up. Like they should interview a couple of coaches.
I sort of brought this up as well because James and I had the opportunity to attend a press conference for uni with Brendan Bolton.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, so our assignment was to write our press conference report. And you could see in that press conference the amount of like genuine dedication and like compassion and commitment that he has for that club. Mm. And to see like so he tried so much and it just wasn't getting anywhere. And like I feel, I don't know, I think it's more of a... emotional sort of thing for me where I feel like someone that's trying so hard could not reap the reward. And like, I guess you couldn't keep him there much more longer.
There's only so much one coach can do. And it's refreshing. A new coach is refreshing. Sometimes it gets the playing group together if there's a new face in there.
For sure, yeah. And if you have enjoyed this sports chat, if it's your thing, then be sure to listen in tomorrow from 9 to 10 to the Sports Desk on Sin. You'll get to hear lots more talk about the world of sport, and I'm sure the AFL will feature. We'll jump into another track now. We've got Clocks by Coldplay. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan.
And that was A Piece of Your Heart by Medusa and Good Boys. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. So recently in the news, there's been a bit of discussion about should the government be spending money to get Instagrammers to promote Aussie tourism. So 40 digital influencers were taken on a 5-day trip to the Kimberley courtesy of GoPro and Australian taxpayers as part of the tourism marketing strategy. The influencers have a combined social media reach of 28 million and travelled from 11 different countries. Tourism WA and Tourism Australia have not revealed exactly how much, though, the promotion and the funding was, you know, the cost of all that.
Yeah.
But so we're going to throw out the question, is using Instagram an appropriate way to promote tourism in Australia?
Well, considering that they've dropped the likes, I think that's a bit of compensation.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the fact that you can't actually see how many likes something's had on Instagram anymore? Yeah, well...
Because influencers are already gone out the window.
Oh, you reckon... you're already calling it. You reckon influencers are dead?
Well, the likes is what brings the influencers, I think.
But surely...
And the followers.
They still remain influential if they're still in your feed. The fact that people are seeing the content...
Yeah.
...is the important part.
Fair point.
But yeah, whether we'll get new influencers coming from nowhere now that you can't see the likes, I don't know. Or whether they can... show how much influence they actually have. But that's a tangent anyway. I don't know. I don't think the government particularly should be spending money on this, but then
there's more important things, isn't there?
Yeah. But then again, we also spend so much money on advertising in so many different forms that it's kind of like, why wouldn't we use this form as well? I don't know. I sit on the fence on this one. What do you reckon, James?
I think I'm with you to an extent. I like it. But as I said before, there's more important things than spending money on other people visiting places. I mean, I'd like to do it. Oh, I'd like to be getting paid to go on holidays and share it online. Like, that's the life right there.
Yeah.
But should the government really be doing this? I'm not so sure.
And the Ben Simmons was back in Victoria recently, and that's very much in front and centre in the news for a variety of reasons. But it turns out he was being paid by the Victorian government to visit lots of tourism sites, which you'd think he'd have the money, given he's on a several hundred million dollar contract for a few years.
Surely they don't need to pay him to do anything. I think he's getting enough money as it is. But he's probably Australia's most informed celebrity.
Yeah, well, that's it. Certainly worth close to the most. But I don't know. There's a certain casino that I don't think feels like they got good value for money out of that one.
Oh, and that, yeah, well, yeah, bit of deep water there.
Anyway, but what do you think, Trisha?
I definitely agree with the use of social media, obviously. Yep. But I think there's other means, especially if you're plastering, like, a beautiful skinny girl on there. And I don't know, that's where I start thinking, like, you wouldn't just go to the Kimberley and expect girls sitting on the beach in their bikini. I think there's other ways as well that we could be using social media to positively, like...
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, create an image of our tourism in Australia.
Yeah, like, just because they're influencers doesn't mean that they should be idols, right?
Yes. How come we can't see a family? Like, because at the end of the day, it's going to be more families or couples going to these places, not just a girl sitting on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing against them, but I think it's just creating an unrealistic expectation of places in Australia.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, there's other questions again. I mean, the choice of the Kimberleys, it's such a beautiful untouched wilderness up there. I've been up there once and it was such an amazing experience. But whether we should be promoting it to the mass market, will it start to ruin some of that untouched feel? I don't know. That's an entirely different question.
It's very two-sided, this. I was reading the article that we had in our run sheet, and I can definitely see from both perspectives.
Yeah, why has this its is pros good. And
yeah.
cons.
Yeah, definitely.
I can see from both sides. Anyway, this is going to be an absolute tune. I think all of us in the studio are going to get up and about for this one. This is Come On Eileen, Dexy's Midnight Runners. You're listening to James, Brendan and Trisha on Get Serial on Sin. That was Our Room by Imbi the Girl. It was on the Sweet 16 this week, so make sure to tune in to that later in the week. I'm going to have a rant. I am going to have a rant.
When are you not having a rant, James?
I have a rant this whole show, pretty much.
All right, well, now you've got to let
on
it all
air,
out.
At least.
Yeah, so I don't like Mondays. I don't think any of you guys particularly like... Does anyone like Mondays?
I mean, for me, they're my one day off a week. So, yeah, I kind of dig Mondays, but I'm weird.
Trisha Mondays.
I could be cringe and say I get to go to uni with you guys, but no.
Ouch, absolutely feeling that one. Anyway... I had uni on Monday, and I finish at, what time did we finish? 2 o'clock? 4 o'clock?
No, 4 o'clock.
Finish 4 o'clock. So I get home. Well, when class finishes, I'm ecstatic. I'm like, yes, done for the day. Drive home. I'm home for about 2 hours, and as you do when you get home from uni.
You were not.
An hour and a half.
You two are just like a bickering couple right now.
Anyway, so get home, and as you do on your Monday when you get home, you open up a can of soft drink, and you watch movies on your bed. So anyway, my laptop's running low. Actually, my phone's running low, let's be real, because I actually didn't have my laptop on me.
No, he did not.
My phone's running low and I needed my charger. Where is my charger in my bag? So I go to my bag and my bag's not there.
Plot twist.
My bag isn't there. I go to my car, I'm like, oh, I always leave my bag in my car. It's just a habit. I always get out of my car and don't bring my bag with me.
But that would be a boring end to this story.
It would be. So, plot twist again. Bag is not in the car. So where would bag be, Trisha?
Bag was in our room at uni that he was no longer at.
Full panic stations. And I mean full panic stations. I was like hyperventilating. I was almost crying. I was like, Mom!
Your first reaction when anything goes wrong when noticed.
Yeah, it's legit. Mom! She's like, I've already told you what's for dinner. I'm like, no, Mom! So anyway, I go, Mom, my bag with my $2,000 laptop... Is that uni?
No need to flex, mate.
We flex. Anyway, so she's like, oh, no. You're like, James, you do realise that you're gone. You are gone if this laptop and this bag is not returned. Like, you can't find it. So anyway, I call my university's security, and they are no help because I'm the most unorganised person there is. I don't know the room number that the classroom was in. So they're like, oh, do you know the room number so we can locate this bag? I'm like, oh, can't you just go? I know it's in this building. Can't you just go in this building and look for a bag? It's like, no, we can't go just looking for a bag. I'm like, oh, right, mate. So anyway, I call my friends. I call you. You're driving.
Yeah, so he's like, I need to know this room. I need to know this room. I'm like, I am driving. I am not going to check. And like, I'm trying to think. And I'm like, it was lucky that like I could remember like where we were. So we got that. But then we called our other friend.
We called Trisha's potential, as I like to call him. Nick, a good friend of the show, is probably probably asleep right now, but he'll listen later and he'll give me a bit of a dirty when I see him next. But anyway, call Nick, and he's no help either because his internet decides not to work when looking at the number for the room. But anyway, he saved my life. Nick, you saved my life, mate. You saved it. So anyway, he was about to catch the bus. Everyone is in tears. And, yeah, so he's about to catch the bus. He runs to the uni room we were just in. He's in my uni class.
This is, like, complete opposite sides of the campus as well. So
he runs to the uni class, beats security, and gets my bag and saves my life.
Woo.
So it could have been a bad Monday. It's a bit of an anticlimactic ending to the story.
No,
but
look, we like learning things on this show, and I've learnt several things in that little segment there. I think the main one is that you, in that one story, you relied on your mother, Trisha, and Trisha's potential to
get anything
done. Don't
you call him Trisha's potential too?
Look, that's his name for the rest of the segment now.
And
he is consistent. Consistency is key.
Yes, that's true.
Any independent girls out there? Anyway, so obviously, yes, I am dependent on a lot of people. That is the end of my rant. This is Better in Black by Thelma Plum. You're listening to James, Trisha, and Brendan on Sin.
This is Sin News.
It is 6:59 a.m. I'm Danielle O'Neill with your Thursday morning Sin News Bulletin. The woman murdered in a knife attack in Sydney has been named as Michaela Dunn. The 24-year-old was allegedly killed at an apartment in Clarence Street in Sydney's CBD on Tuesday. The Pacific Island Forum continues today in Tuvalu. Pacific leaders are urging Australia to take stronger action to limit global warming. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinta Ardern has backed the calls, saying yesterday that Australia has to answer to the Pacific on climate change. Flights have resumed at Hong Kong Airport following 2 days of protests that saw hundreds of flights cancelled. Chinese officials have condemned the protest, the latest in a 10-week political crisis that has gripped the city. An ABC investigation has revealed the personal information of 317 people applying for Australian visas was accidentally emailed to a member of the general public. 317 names, dates of birth, passport numbers, and medical test notes were sent to an unknown email address. In sport, Australia is hoping the second test of the Ashes will get underway tonight after day one was washed out. Joss Hazlewood will come in for his first test of the year, replacing James Pattinson, who is being rested. The lineup for the Byron Bay Blues Fest has been announced. Headliners include the Dave Matthews Band, Patti Smith, and Crowded House. Other acts include George Benson, John Butler, and Brandy Carlile. The event will take place in April of next year. And now to your weather. Melbourne will see a cloudy top of 12 degrees today, with a chance of showers in the late afternoon and evening. Cloudy and a top of 13 degrees for Mount Dandenong, a top of 15 degrees for Frankston. High chances of rain tomorrow for Melbourne. It is currently 9 degrees. I'll be back with your news headlines in half an hour. Danielle O'Neill, Sin News.
How are we, Melbourne? We have an absolute huge hour coming up, so get excited. We have a bit of Powderfinger, Crooked Colours, and Ian Moss for you to massage your earbuds. We will debut a new game we like to call Hate It or Rate It, so stick around for that. But I think it's time for a cheeky song. This is Waves by Alia Faye. She was interviewed on Get Serial earlier in the week, so if you want to check that out, go to the socials. This is Get Serial.
That's what they should be doing, because they're going to get a much better opportunity in life than those people who don't get the chance to go to university.
For decades, Aussie high school students have been sold a narrative that uni equals a good job with a good paycheck. But this week, the Grattan Institute released a report that may see a change to uni-centric career advice.
My name is Will Mackey. I'm an associate at the Grattan Institute.
With the number of low ATAR students attending university having shot up over the past 15 years, the Grattan Institute wanted to look at the outcomes for these students. They found that university doesn't necessarily mean the best lifetime prospects.
We find that people with low ATARs tend to struggle a little bit more at university, so they tend to drop out at higher rates, as some of our previous research has shown. But also people who complete, people actually get through, they tend to have complete with higher fail rates, lower marks, and when they enter the job market, they tend to have really poor employment outcomes compared to their higher ATAR peers.
In fact, the numbers show that for low ATAR men, entering vocational education to learn a trade or study commerce would actually be a better financial choice.
Some low ATAR men who go to university might have been better off or would have been better off if they stuck with a trade in engineering and construction and commerce. So we find a lot of low ATAR men especially who are studying broad fields like science at university have particularly poor outcomes. But they also share an interest. So people who are doing science also have a little bit of an interest in engineering. So we think this might be a good match. A man who has a low ATAR and who is maybe interested in science at university could take a vocational course in engineering construction and be financially better off.
So that was an excerpt from our SYN News program Panorama, which is on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4 p.m, talking a little bit about the uni versus TAFE debate that it's been very much in the news recently. You're listening to Get Serial on SYN with James, Trisha and Brendan, by the way. Danny was the one who actually reported on that story and also happens to be our producer here. So we're keen to have a chat with you about what your thoughts were on the story.
Hey, guys.
So obviously, university has a lot of prestige around it, and full disclosure, we've got four university students sitting here in the room, so we've obviously made the decision to go down that path. But as that report shows, it may not necessarily be the right option for everyone, and not only that, it may not lead to the career outcomes that people expect it to, those being better career outcomes. And for some, TAFE may actually lead to higher income. What do we think about that? Danny, what can you give us any other insights on the story?
Well, I don't think it comes as much of a surprise. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, I think so many people have gone to uni in the past decade or 15 years, and a lot of my friends, you know, get undergraduate degrees and find it hard to get a job. And then at the same time, we're seeing a massive skill shortage in a lot of trades and apprenticeships and things like that. So it does make sense to me that there'd be more earning potential these days in a vocation.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that there's a lot of people working in various trades who earn significant figures. And I also know a lot of uni grads who are currently, there's a joke that an arts degree leads to you being a barrister or a barista. So I know lots of baristas, funnily enough.
Yeah, like when I was doing the story on Tuesday in Panorama, we actually ran into a tradie in the SYN studios. He was fixing our plumbing. And I interviewed him for the story, and he was like, you know, I don't want to brag, but I earn pretty good money.
Six figures is definitely on the table.
Totally.
Trades. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. What does everyone else think in the room?
It does depend on what you want in life. Like, not everyone wants to be a tradie, whether they earn more or not. Not everyone wants to use their physical. I know I couldn't be a tradie. I'm a stick, so I couldn't lift anything or push anything. So tradie wouldn't be for me.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But it is important to mention here as well that TAFE do actually offer courses in a variety of different subjects, including, you know, computer IT studies and
patisserie.
Yeah, you name it. There's just about a TAFE course for it. So I think it's important that's also addressed. I think people do associate TAFE with a trade pretty much automatically, but that's not always the case.
No, for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Trisha?
Well, I've done a few certificate courses as well, and I honestly think I've learnt just as much, if not more, in those certificates. And I don't know if it's a shorter amount of time and, you know, you're under the pump or what. I don't know what it is, but I definitely do feel Like, I've gotten just as much out of that as I have currently in my uni course. But, and the same goes, I've always been set on, like, being a journalist. So, like, there was no other way for me really to go other than going to uni. But, yeah, I wouldn't knock it, doing a TAFE course.
I mean, it's kind of the status quo now, I think, that an undergraduate degree is unlikely to get you into a job, right? You then have to go on and do further studies. So suddenly you're committing at least 4 years of your life to university studies, whereas with a TAFE course, you can be in and out with a Certificate 4 or a diploma within a year, year and a half, which is
quite quick.
Pretty crazy. So there's lots to think about. Did you run into the stigma a lot, Danny, when you were reporting this story? People having this sort of feeling that university was more prestigious?
Yeah, so when I spoke to Will Mackey, who was a part of the report in the Grattan Institute, he said that, you know, there's absolutely a cultural stigma around vet and doing vocational education, because it was really interesting, actually. He was talking about, for a long time, and it was, that you'd go to university and that it'd kind of be a golden ticket and a guarantee, but that's not the case anymore.
No.
But at the same time, you've got a lot of all the teachers have gone to university, and then the guidance counsellors have gone to university, and as more and more people go to university, those parents of children are then wanting their children to go to university, and it just kind of, you just see the cultural norm become university.
Yeah, that does make sense. You get sort of, I mean, Australia's middle class has also grown, so there's more people who can afford to go to uni, and of course the HECS, the help.
Oh, exactly. Loans. And like the upfront fees that you get with vet can be higher than the upfront fees that you obviously don't get at all with a uni degree that's supported by the HELP loan scheme. But I think the whole thing about this was that it's not saying, oh, everyone should be a tradie and go to TAFE or do a vocation. It's just saying that, like, we need to be having, especially in, like, high schools with young kids, like, more discussions about, like, okay, uni isn't the only option, and there's viable career paths in lots of places.
No, and that was one of the big things of the story, right, is that the incomes on average are higher, but only for lower ATAR males.
Yeah.
Is that right? So for certain cohorts in particular, it might be more suitable is kind of, in terms of income at least.
Yeah.
I think that's a relevant fact to get in there, because it was being slightly misreported in headlines.
It was bugging me a little bit. You were seeing, like, it's all conclusive, TAFE is better than uni, and that's not what research even is as a thing. Like, for example, the report found that for low ATAR women, they tended to do better off by doing a university degree, because they'd go into things like teaching or nursing in uni, which has a little bit more earning potential. And then when they were doing vocation, they'd be doing things like childcare, which unfortunately doesn't have the highest pay rates. So I think the fact is that career choices are complex, and there's not one right or wrong answer.
No, it's horses for courses, right?
I don't know what that means, but yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I'm using old-fashioned sayings now. It means, yes, for the right situation, you get the right qualification. I think the important part is really getting rid of those stigmas. That's what we really need to be looking at here. Is I have just as much respect for my tradie mates as I do for those who have gone on and got university qualifications. We'll jump into another song from the Sweet 16 now. This one's Conventional Ride by Marika Hackman. Enjoy listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan.
That was Conventional Ride by Marika Hackman. We're going to get into a new segment. This is called Hate It or Rate It.
Get excited.
Yes, get very keen. So I'm going to ask both, well, everyone in the studio, to be honest, Tom, Brendan and Trisha.
Hello.
I'm going to ask them a series of controversial, I wouldn't call them topics, just...
Yeah, controversial questions, things that split us, right?
Yes, exactly.
That divide us.
I'm going to ask you a few of them, and you're going to say if you hate it or if you rate it.
And we're going to justify that...
So you'll give me a 20-second debate,
yep,
all of you, and I'll decide a winner who has the best case.
All right. I like it, Judge Judy.
So anyway, because you're doing a lot of the talking, Brendan, I'll get you with the first question. Sauce belongs in the fridge. Hate it or rate it?
Absolutely rate it. Sauce belongs in the fridge. It keeps for longer. And who doesn't like that contrast of a hot snag with a... You know, cold bitter sauce.
Can't say I disagree with that one bit. We'll go with Tom.
Wait, yeah, I can see.
I absolutely don't rate it because when you put sauce on something, you don't expect it to be cold. It just dampens your day. So if you have hot sauce, as it's in the name, you make your day even warmer. It keeps you warm inside. That's why it doesn't stay in the fridge. Yeah, hot sauce.
And Trisha?
I would not have described it like that, but definitely, like, I do not want it. Like, I will eat chicken nuggets, not a snack, but I don't want cold sauce on my hot chicken nuggets. It just ruins it.
Boo.
Well, I'm going to give it to Brendan. A bit of bias, just because...
This is all going to be bias, this game. I don't like
it. I think that it should be in the fridge. On the actual sauce bottle, it says... After opening, keep it refrigerated. Hey.
So now you
actually
listen to
tells
something.
You to keep it refrigerated.
You are the most biased judge ever.
Anyway, I'll get on to the next one. Brendan, do you wet the toothbrush before putting toothpaste on it?
Why? Is this a thing? I have so much hate it. What's the point? I mean, the water's still going to get onto the toothbrush if you put it on after you put the toothpaste on. Just what?
I think Tom objects here.
I 100% rate this. It helps to moisten the mouth. It gets yourself ready for the cleanliness you're about to endure, and you have this white, shiny feeling, and you just I froth it, yeah.
But hold on. You're putting the toothbrush in your mouth before you put toothpaste on it?
No.
Well, but you're wetting the toothbrush before you put toothpaste on it.
Yeah.
I will wet the toothbrush first because the water, like...
You didn't this morning.
No, I was about to say that, though. I was really strange. As
that
soon
is
as you
creepy.
As soon as you, like, said it. No, but usually I will do it because the water, like, seeps through, like, the bristles, and then the bristles aren't as, like, stiff, and then your mouth doesn't bleed as much.
Because my gums this bleed. One to Tom.
You don't want stiff bristles.
No. Tom wins the debate on this occasion. Beautiful answer.
Thank you.
We'll go into another one. Now, so when we go to school, we wear uniforms. So should teachers make an example of it? Should teachers wear uniforms to school? Trisha?
I think yes. Only, now I'm going to get a bit more serious on this one, but I think for the appropriateness of us, like, to look more
professional.
Yeah, that's the word. I'm like a bit of a blank. I remember when I was in primary school, there was actually a teacher who would get, like, not criticised, but like a lot of the parents would look at her because, like, the particular clothes she would wear, and it wasn't, like, appropriate.
She wear thongs?
Not so
and
much.
Some shorts. And...
No, it was more like the length of a skirt or things like that. So I think just to keep everything professional and, like, you know. I don't know. I think it just sets a nicer example.
Brendan.
I mean, I'm probably the wrong person for this topic because I was home educated. That's right. I was homeschooled. So my teacher never wore a uniform.
But neither did you.
What twist. That's right. So I say be you. Be individual teachers. Come on. They've got a tough life. They don't get much going for them. So they can at least wear the clothes they want to.
Big call. Tom.
I reckon it'll all be easy if we all wear jumpsuits and we wear jumpsuits according to the colour of the school emblem. Teachers and students alike become one and blend together and they unite together.
Well, I'm a bit like Brendan. I actually went to a school that didn't have a uniform, so I got to wear free dress every day, so I didn't even have a uniform. But I'm with Tom. I like the jumpsuits. So we can all wear... I think everyone should wear jumpsuits.
That's right. So the official Get Cereal uniform is a jumpsuit. From now on, we will all attend Get Cereal in jumpsuits, right?
We should.
I'm for that.
We'll do it all next week.
Anyway, last one. Dabbing should be banned. Trisha.
This shouldn't have even been brought up. Of course it should be banned. I don't understand why someone thinks it's so cool to go...
What about the whip or the floss?
Oh, the floss is just as bad. The whip's a bit funny if you use it in the right context. Like,
I love a whip.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, I love to bring out the whip.
I just don't see why people think it's... I just don't see why people think it's cool. It's not. You look so silly doing it.
But isn't the point now that it's become ironic? Yeah. Like, it's
a bit of
a
meme.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just jealous because I've never, like, been able to do it, like, to the...
Wait, you can't dab. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, but I don't do it really well.
Wow. So we've learned something this morning. Trisha can't dab.
I think we should pop this up on the socials, a picture of Trisha dabbing.
Oh, we're not going to do that. We're That's embarrassing.
That. I'll work on that in the break.
Oh, Brendan.
I don't know. I say you do you. You be individual. You be free. But that being said, if you subject me to constant dabbing, I will be mad. What
now,
do you reckon?
Tom, you look like the person that loves a dab.
Well, you're right. For the reason I'm riding on 25 and on my pension, and I think that the dab, being someone who dabbles with youth work and does a lot of work with kids, it's the last thing I have that I can engage with the youths of today.
The youths
of today. And I think the dab is a great icebreaker in any situation.
Okay, so you go into your, you know, you're going for a job interview and you just throw the dab in there.
Hey, guys! you're hired.
Well, Tom wins this week's Hated or Rated if we want to put winners in the conversation.
I was going to say, is this, how is this a game in which
this
you have
winners?
So biased. Yeah, this is dodgy.
I love the answers. I think we should rate it on the answers.
I think we should rename this to James's Man Crush.
Ooh, ouch. Oh. Anyway, we're getting into another song now. This is Summer Days by Martin Garrix, Macklemore and Fallout Boy. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin. Language warning on this one, so cover your ears.
That was Awakening by Aurora. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. This morning, we are joined on the phone by Melbourne indie pop artist Odyssey S. They have just released a new single, Even When We Let It Go. That was released last week, so nice and fresh. It is a song about personal growth and about finding the right person to build a relationship with. So welcome to the show, Odyssey S. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. So we just wanted to start off with the track that was released on Friday. What was the response like to the track so far?
I've had a pretty good response. People seem to like it, which is good.
That's great to hear. Can you tell us a little bit about your inspiration in writing the song and a bit about the song itself?
The inspiration came from a personal situation with my ex-partner. It's pretty self-explanatory, really. We got back together after a time apart, and I wrote a song about it.
Yeah. So, what kind of genres do we see flowing through here? Can you tell us a little bit about that side of the song? What's the musical side of it like?
It's indie pop, I would say. I do have a lot of like electronic influence, which you'll get to hear a bit more of in my next coming single. But
Just
indie pop, yeah.
Fantastic. It sounds groovy. And can you tell us a little bit about your musical journey and how long you've been a musician? It looks as though you're fairly fresh, right? Early in your career?
Yeah, pretty early in my career. I've been writing for about 4 years now.
This is your first release, or have you previously got music out there?
I've co-written before, but this is my first release with my voice on it. Yeah.
Brilliant. And so when did you start playing music? Can you tell us a bit about your inspirations?
I used to be a ballet dancer, and I got really sick when I was about 16 and I couldn't dance anymore. And I picked up a guitar, and that's kind of the rest of it is history.
And do you have any plans to release any more tracks in 2019, or will you keep us waiting till 2020?
No, I've got more tracks coming. I've got more.
All exciting. And do you have any intentions on touring or any upcoming shows planned?
No shows planned, but intentions on touring later this year or start of next year.
Very exciting. Can you tell us about some of your musical inspirations? Who really inspired you to get into the music industry to start releasing tunes?
People like Lorde, Flume, Vera Blue.
Some great artists there.
Yeah, they really inspire me.
Yeah, we're big fans here on the show. And in terms of your live performance, are there any particular inspirations for those live performances?
Maybe Matt Corby, I'd have to say.
Yes, great musician. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat today. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? So you don't have any shows in the pipeline at the moment, but where can we find your music?
Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, YouTube. Anywhere you can get music online.
Perfect. We'll make sure that you check it all out. Now, we have your new song, Even When We Let It Go, playing next. Is there anything you'd like to say before we give the track a bit of a spin?
No, go for it.
All right, let's get into it. Thanks very much for talking to us today, Odyssey S.
Thank you.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. This is Even When We Let It Go by Odyssey S. Enjoy. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. James really getting into that one there. That was Tucker's Daughter by Ian Moss.
Oh, it's such a tune.
Such a tune. Everyone in the studio has just recovered from the fact I made them all try dried pineapple off air, which was quite an experience from what I could tell.
Yeah, we're just outside the studio, and you've given us a bit of dried pineapple, and it was intense. Trisha explained that. Trisha summed
perfectly,
it up.
Yeah.
It tasted like Vegemite. Dried pineapple, as sweet as pineapple is,
it's literally
tasted as salty as Vegemite.
I think we need to also note, like, this was, like, very intensely dried. Like, it was brown. It wasn't like when you get the nice rings and they're still yellow. Like, I can tolerate that. That's really sweet.
What do you expect when it's dried, right?
No, I'm going to show you.
Moisture is removed. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about it's more of a crystallized. I wouldn't describe it as truly dried.
Okay,
stuff.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I feel really bad now because everyone just like spat it out and there was, you know, reactions of disgust. And I was just trying to help you guys.
I didn't even
want to
pretend I liked
it. And Danny just goes, "Oi, James, should I try it?" And at that moment, I was, like, cringing inside from the flavour. I'm like, yeah, it's really good,
Well, moving right along, I'm glad you've all recovered. You haven't died on me after that. We might get into a bit of one of my favourite segments here on Get Serial Thursdays. That would be Ridiculous Quiz. Trisha has something she'd like to say
so,
on this.
So, remember, everyone, because I'm so forgetful, and the trophy situation. I went out and bought one of those little kids party trophy things. And then Dad listened to the radio last week and he was like, "You haven't bought it yet, have you?" I'm like, "No, I did. I keep forgetting." He's like, "Well, never fear. We have a..."
Oh, we have a trophy.
So we got an upgraded trophy. And
it's pretty
for those,
prestigious.
We might have
is
to put a photo.
Yeah, for the benefit of our listeners.
Dad's a builder.
So what would you describe that as, Trisha?
Two offcuts joined together and in a beautiful texture, "I am the Ridiculous Quiz winner." And you can tell he doesn't know how to spell because he's did it in grey lid first and then gone over.
Can we just have a quick shout out to Trisha's dad?
Yeah,
right?
We love you, Dad. So hopefully I do you proud and I can keep it next to me.
Are they doors cut in half?
I've got no idea. But anyway, it's our trophy.
That is legendary.
It's pretty prestigious.
That is very prestigious.
I'll love to lift it up at the end. That's our little ashes.
Unfortunately. There you go, James, at the moment.
It's on my desk at the moment.
Yes. Oh, we'll be hoping to hold on to that one today.
Now,
James is the continuing champion.
Last two. For those, two. For the three-peat today.
For the uninitiated, Ridiculous Quiz, we take a ridiculous subject or a ridiculous quiz concept.
We take it ridiculously seriously as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it is. It is.
It's on between James and Trisha. In the overall standings, it's 2-2, I believe,
yeah, it is.
For the season. We will go all the way to the end. That's right, folks. So
stay tuned.
Stick around. There'll be 11 versions of it. Today, we are going to talk weird ashes facts. Now, of course, the ashes test number 2 started, in inverted commas, last night. Of course, it didn't start because it's England and it rains all the time.
Didn't they just come off a heat wave?
Yeah.
A 23-degree heat wave.
Allegedly. But, yeah, so I figured we'd have a bit of a look at some ashes facts, seeing as we can't actually talk about any cricket
did,
that's actually
this come off, considering I have a Trisha on sports segment. I've only gotten to cricket high school, so don't expect much from me. I'm not Ooh. Saying
you're already backing away.
Yeah, no. I'm going to try it, but just
that's low.
Yeah,
no
just
promises.
Letting you know.
Well, let's whip through these questions. Question number 1: what happened to an Australian player? And I should mention again: make sure you use your name as buzzers for the benefit of
my
our
name's
listeners.
James.
That's an old one now.
Make sure you listen to the podcast. Get on our socials on Facebook, Get Serial, to find some of our podcasts to listen to some of the great previous editions of Ridiculous Quiz. But anyway, what happened to an Australian player just before he was about to open the batting at Lord's in 1878? Was he stung by a bee or was he kidnapped?
Oh, James.
Hi, James.
He was stung by a bee.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Trisha.
What were the answers?
It was kidnapped.
Hey, well done, Trisha.
Surely not.
Well, that counts, unfortunately.
There's two answers.
Exactly. You had a 50% chance and you stuffed it.
This is what happened last week and you got the point, so that's mine. Trisha won.
Yeah, that's correct. He was, in fact, kidnapped in a crazy turn of events. I absolutely love this story. It was 1870s. He got kidnapped by one of the English players to go and play for a county team because apparently he'd committed to both teams. And so got him in the back of the car and was like, the cab rather.
Were there cars there?
Yeah, sorry, cab. With a horse and cart, and went, "You're playing for us across the road, mate." And then the Australian players chased him down, and they had like a big standoff at the other cricket ground. Crazy story.
That's so funny.
Absolutely wild. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the next one. Loading. Question two. When were the first Ashes held? The closest to the correct date wins. Just give me a year.
James.
Okay.
1928.
And Trisha, what
didn't
year?
Didn't we just say 18?
No. First women's Ashes.
Oh, women's. Oh, lucky. I didn't hear that.
That's all right.
Oh,
what are you going with? Come on, you can do it.
1941.
Doing some quick mental maths. The year was 1934.
So that means that
James wins.
Yes.
James wins the quiz.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear.
And we don't even have time to get to the last question today. So James can take that trophy.
So you got the first. But we got one all, though.
Oh, right.
You are silly.
Oh, okay. Fact check here.
We actually have to do the last question.
We actually have to do the last question. That's right. The news can wait. Gosh, that's embarrassing. I'm not a very good quiz master, am I? Final question. What happened to a ball after it was bowled in an 1870s game in Stawell? This was another game of the Ashes. They used to go and play them in the country, apparently. Did the ball simply fall apart or did it get stuck in the dust?
Trisha.
Yep.
Dust?
Yes, it got stuck in the dust.
Give me my trophy back.
Crazy. It literally did not make it to the batsman. It just got stuck. Apparently the field had been ploughed 3 months before.
I actually knew that.
Crazy.
I heard that somewhere.
Crazy story. But that means that despite me trying to give it to James, Trisha has actually taken the trophy and the lead 3-2. That is, congratulations, Trisha. Any words you'd like to say this week?
That's why it's called Trisha on Sport and not James on Sport.
Ouch. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan.
Let's get ready to chat. Serial.
Hey, Melbourne, we've got 1 hour left of your Get Serial Thursdays today. It may be cold out there, but we'll keep you warm with some sweet tunes and even a fantastic interview with Hang On To Your Hangers founders Harvard Christie and Edward Christie. We'll also play Clickbait Frenzy, which is one of our favourite segments here. And we'll have a bit of a chat about some weird news stories that have been going around. So stick around if you're keen for all that. We've got a great tune coming up first up. It's How Long by Bag Raiders and Panama. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Enjoy.
That was High and Dry by MXM Tune. You're listening to James, Brendan and Trisha on Get Serial. We've got the boys Harvard and Edward Christie. They're from Hang On To Your Hangers, which is a new film, a comedy drama made by independent filmmakers, premiering at the Hamilton Cinema on the 24th of August at 6 o'clock, the 26th of August at 11, and the 1st of September at 6. They're with us, and the film has led character Douglas Huffle eager to forge his reputation in crime, manipulating a bottle shop robbery by planting his own money inside the store. Instead, the very aspects of crime he fervently avoided begin to catch up with him. Boys, how are we?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. Can you just tell us about how you guys got into filmmaking? Obviously, your brothers, there's a bit of maybe sibling rivalry, a bit of misfits, a bit of fighting.
Well, the way we got into filmmaking was that we both always liked films and the storytelling aspects of filmmaking, and we both value very similar things in film, so it just made a lot of sense for us to make them together and then eventually lead to making a feature film.
Yeah, it was something I don't think we realised we wanted to do until we were both, well, I was in about year 11 or something like that, and then I actually got a camera that I said, wow, this is way better than anything I've ever used before, and it's, I've got way better stuff now, but it's, it was a really good start into what was actually possible. I'm really impressed by that.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more about the film that you guys have put together, Hang On To Your Hangers-On, which is a great tongue twister there. Absolutely love it. What was your inspirations, and what do we see in the final product?
I think our inspiration was a film mainly that's called Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. It's really one of our favourite films. Unfortunately, that's a very different film to the one we made. but that was definitely a source of inspiration for us. And we just we really liked the idea of some guy who wanted to be perceived as a criminal but actually not go through with any criminal activity, sort of get the reputation but, you know, not go to jail for any reason. So, yeah, that really appealed to us.
Just attracted to the concept of looking like a criminal. Is that, that's the lead character. Wow. Yeah,
the comedy comes... you always start with something that's dramatic and then the comedy comes to it eventually, and that's the way we've always worked.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there's this crossover between comedy and drama. So what's it like working on the edge of those two sort of genres? Is it something you enjoy? Does it challenge you?
Yeah, no, it's something we really enjoy. We like not being restrained by genre. Yeah. So we like comedy, but we also don't want it to be too silly or too outlandish, so you reel it back with drama. But we mainly just don't want to be in one particular genre. We want to break down and make our own film, so yeah.
That's where the best films happen, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So the film was filmed in your hometown and the premiere's in your hometown. Was that something intentional, like it was your first feature film? Did you want it to be close to home, or is it just the way it happened?
No, it was very intentional. Making a feature film is pretty tough, and you need a lot of resources to get it done. Mm. And it was a really small community that was really behind us, basically 100%. And we used a lot of local actors. We used about 50 local actors.
Wow.
Yeah, in various capacities, you know. waiter one, you know, waiter two. That's
tree one.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, you know, it's the case of, you know, if you need a location, you can actually get one. And if you want to go from one location to another, you're doing it in 5 minutes instead of an hour at a time.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And working in a small town environment like that, was it great to see the local creative talent sort of come to the fore? Was there a real close-knit sort of community around the actual filmmaking?
Absolutely. Yeah, you find that when you actually put the cards on the table and say we're filmmakers, people just come to you with things that say, well, if you need this, I can help you with that. And yeah, no, it was great. I think it made the whole experience very unique that we were not actually outsourcing a lot of people. They were coming to us. And a lot of people who had no real experience in filmmaking were learning on the job, more or less. So that was great.
That's brilliant.
And what was the most fun making the film?
Yeah, most fun scene, I guess.
There was one time when we started filming about 5:30 p.m. At night, and we only had one night with this actor and one night with a vehicle. We went to bed at about 7 a.m. that next morning. We had spent basically all night working on that scene with our actors, and our lead actor's a dentist, and he had to be up at 6 o'clock, and we let him go home at about 2 or 3 in the morning, unfortunately. So you try and avoid that sometimes, but unfortunately you got to do it sometimes like that.
Wow.
So you mentioned like the movies that you have some like influence off, but in cases of directors and styles of work, where do you really get your influence, or where did you look for your inspirations for your movies?
Well, our obviously Guy Ritchie, when he made Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch, those two films really inspired us tremendously. I think one of our favourite directors currently is a guy called Billy Wilder, who made a lot of films back in the 40s. And, we just take inspiration from wherever it comes from, you know, people who make films a long time ago or currently, whatever it is. If we look at something and enjoy it, then that's what it is.
Brilliant. And for our Melbourne listeners, most of them, we assume, is there any chance we can catch this film somewhere in Melbourne? I know you've got the premiere down in Hamilton.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. It's a case of we're going to see how this premiere goes. We actually have three screenings that...
Yeah, we saw that.
We really hope to do well with, and then we're going to try and expand it to different places and maybe get a production company attached. So that's the long-term plan.
Brilliant. So where can we keep up with that? Social media page or
Absolutely,
something?
Absolutely, yeah. So the production company we run ourselves is called Hey Mary Productions. That's with H-E-I. Yeah, we've got a website through the same name, and that's the best place to keep up
with
it.
Best place to keep up.
Yeah, so if you want a DVD, just let us know.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in for the interview today. Are you happy to stick around for one of our regular segments, Clickbait Frenzy, after the break?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan, and the boys from Hang On To Your Hangers On as well. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan, and we're still joined in the studio by the creators of Hang On To Your Hangers On, Hanger-Ons rather, such a tongue twister, I love it, it's brilliant. They are Harvard and Ed Christie. Thanks for sticking around, boys.
No worries.
Now, we were talking off air about some of the interesting locations that you filmed in. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, Hamilton's recently revitalised their Safeway car park, and
they still call it Safeway.
That's right. Yeah. I guess we're out from the country, but there's that's where we spent a tremendous amount of time filming scenes for the film. With just the actual bottle shop that this guy goes to a lot of the time is attached to the Safeway.
So the little bottle-o there, you spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, we did, and in and around it, and we were there at 2 a.m. most of the time. But the couple of bakers, I think, were normally in the car park around that time, and they knew us pretty well by the end of it.
Yeah, and did you ever have customers sort of seeing what you were doing and ask questions?
Yeah, we had one time where we were in the BWS with what's called a shotgun mic, and someone walked in who'd never seen film equipment in his life and said, "Oh, I thought you were holding a gun and you were robbing stuff." Nah.
Oh, that's priceless. And you also spent some time in the local newspaper.
That's right, yeah. When you're trying to get a police station, it's important to... try to get the help of police, but a lot of the times, you know, they're using it for police stuff. So we were happy to be able to use a newspaper publishing office to mimic that.
That's brilliant.
I was just wondering, how long did it actually take to film the film?
We were shooting for about 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
But to this point, it's been about, I think, 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, editing and all that take forever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're keen to do so, we're hoping that you could play one of our favourite segments here with us, Clickbait Frenzy. Are you happy to give it a crack?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Clickbait Frenzy. So for the uninitiated, Clickbait Frenzy is all about my love of clickbait. I really do love clickbait, but I never read the articles. a waste of time. I just enjoy reading the headlines and then trying to work out the most ridiculous story that relates to the said headlines. So we're going to go around the table here and see what the best stories we can get off a few rather bizarre clickbait headlines are. We will start with this one, which I think is quite an open-ended one, so take this where you will. The Simpson writers have confessed how they predict the future in their show. What do we reckon? How do they do it?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. They actually call Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park and say, what's going to happen in the future?
The cartoons just work together, don't they? That's brilliant. Nah, I reckon they're aliens from the future.
Right, the writers are aliens.
Yeah, Matt Groening is an alien.
Just putting it out there.
I just think they ask an eight ball and shake it and see what the answer is.
The magic meatball.
Well, I go down the path of, I think they create the future. I think it's more like whatever they say comes to pass. They are the visionaries. But no, the truth is that they guess. surprise, surprise, they guess, and it just
but
so happens.
They're so accurate on so many things.
The Donald Trump one, being that president, that is priceless. That is unbelievable. All right, we'll jump into another one. Turns out there's an animal that great white sharks are absolutely terrified of. What have you got for us, boys?
Yeah, well, the report's in, it's humans. They've been swimming around them, near them. They pose a great threat.
That's right. Humans are the greatest killer of sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as a young kid, I was scared of plankton off SpongeBob. So I'm pretty sure sharks are also scared of him.
SpongeBob characters. I've been watching too much TV.
Yeah, we named all the cartoons this morning, haven't we? We just got South Park, Simpsons, and yeah, SpongeBob. So.
Oh, I was going to say Nemo. I feel like I'm just copying now, but no, I think Nemo.
Yeah, love that film. I reckon, I don't know, dogs are pretty weird, right? And when they swim, they're particularly weird. I reckon for sharks, you'd be like, what the hell are these little legs flicking back and forth in front of me?
And the tail's weird.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be weird. No, they're afraid of orcas, you know, the big whales.
Are the ones with the horns?
No, you're thinking of a narwhal. Which, by the way, are a meme in themselves. Love me a good narwhal. All right, we got one to go. Firefighters rescue litter of puppies from a storm drain to learn they're not puppies at all.
Yeah, they're definitely not puppies.
Yeah, I think they were actually the residents from the burning building that they were.
Very young. Got anything else for us there?
No, I think that pretty much says
it. Nothing's going to beat that.
We'll stick with the cartoon themes, and they're just a billion cat dogs.
What an iconic show from the childhood, right?
Okay, no.
Little cat dogs. They just didn't look at the other end of them.
Exactly.
Trisha's looking sideways at this. She's very confused.
No.
She's looking at the image, which is of something that looks
vaguely like a
puppy.
Ferret, and I used to have ferrets, but it's not the colour of a ferret, yeah.
Wait, that's a story and a half.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that another time.
Yeah, it's like a black and white ferret.
A black and white ferret.
Collingwood ferret.
I reckon it's... Look, I think it should be rats. I mean, it's down a storm drain. They just got a whole bunch of rats. But no, the truth is, it was a bunch of baby foxes. This one is actually pretty weird. What are baby foxes doing in a storm drain?
So you actually got reeled in by the title, did you?
Yeah, for once it was actually, it led to something, right?
Nice.
Thank you so much for playing along with us in the studio today, boys. Do you want to give one more plug for the film? So where can we find Hang On To Your Hangers On?
Yeah, I mean, if you're Melbourne-based, the best place is the website. So that's heymaryproductions.weebly.com. I'm sure you can find it from there.
And Mary Productions is spelled how again, sorry?
H-E-I. We were born in Norway, and that's the way to say hey in Norwegian. It's pretty similar, but yeah.
No worries. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and being such good sports with our segment. And we look forward to seeing the film soon.
Thank you for having us.
No worries at all. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. We've got I Belong Here by Setmo and Woods coming up next. Enjoy.
We have got Shaking My Hips by Elliot. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan, who just made a little...
And that was Fall Apart by Emma Louise. And before that, you heard Money by Liam Cordial. Now, to finish off the show this morning, we thought we would take a look at this week's wacky news and do what we do best, just pull it apart.
Yeah, that's right. So it's been a weird week in news, as it often is. I mean, look, they've got to fill all that newspaper space somehow, right? But here's a few of my favourites. First of all, this one's very, very relevant, very topical. Europe is seeking for many different names of foods to be protected so that for example, Scotch beef can only be Scotch and things like that. Otherwise, if it's produced elsewhere, it has to be named something different. Some of the examples that may need name changes in Australia, this is all part of a free trade agreement, by the way. Some of the examples that may need changing are feta, prosecco, just about Scotch beef, Scotch lamb, just you name it. It's going to have to change names just about. It's crazy. What do you think, guys?
Well, what are you changing feta to?
Hard white cheese.
That could be any cheese.
A hard, ricotta? Salty white cheese.
Oh,
okay. What about ricotta?
Isn't that normally I don't know my cheeses.
That's a bit more crummy, isn't it?
Yeah, hard, crumbly white cheese. What are you changing prosecco to?
What's Prosecco?
Bubbly alcoholic liquid. What do you reckon? Are we digging this?
We're clutching at straws here.
Trisha?
No, I heard this during the week and I did the same thing because I heard it on the radio and I'm like driving down the uni and I'm like, what could you honestly name all this without pretty much taking the mickey out of it? Like, we're Aussies, if we're going to have to do this, everything is going to have a really like...
slang.
Yeah. It's, I don't really get it. Like,
What don't you get? What do you understand?
So if there's Vegemite in Europe, are we going to make them change...
No, that? So the crucial part here is that you'll still be able to buy Prosecco. You'll only be able to buy Prosecco that has come from that region, though. Anything else, so say that Prosecco was produced in Australia, it would no longer be allowed to be called by that name. It would be bubbly, alcoholic liquid, or some other probably more appropriate name.
That's just complicating
that's
things
situation.
For no reason.
I mean, it is, but on the other hand, you know, would you want Vegemite, I guess you use that classic example, would you want that being called, let's say another brand started making Vegemite and calling it Vegemite over in the UK or something, would you be happy with that or would you want it to have a different name?
I see when you put it like that, it's like, that's ours. Like,
yeah, and you wouldn't want the brand.
Yeah, don't change it, it's ours, it's Aussie.
Yeah. Anyway, another good one for you, moving on. Scientists are preparing to farm puffy pink seaweed that stops cows burping methane.
Repeat that one.
I don't even get that.
That's right. Apparently, researchers want to mass farm a native Queensland seaweed that stops cows burping methane in a bid to help cut greenhouse gas emissions. We're fighting global warming with seaweed, guys.
That's taking it to a whole new level.
We dig it? We like it?
I like it, yeah.
I just...
I rate it.
Can you just see the farmer on the back of his ute, like, throwing out seaweed?
This really questions the maturity of the three of us. Like, we're all for this, but then we don't want, like, regions to be protected with the names of their food. Like.
It's just the concept, right? Just throwing pink seaweed out. I love it. And the cow's
going,
"Oh,
no." I love that it's pink as well. I think that's what makes it more funny. Yeah. Like, if it was green seaweed, I wouldn't
care.
Imagine
the sushi out of that.
Ooh,
fancy.
And one more for you before we get into another tune. This one, I don't know where to start. Farmers jailed in Australia for smuggling Danish pig semen in shampoo bottles.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's right.
Are you sure?
They've been smuggling the good stuff from Danish pigs into Australia, I think for the purposes inseminating local pigs. So, you know.
Fair.
Yeah, but of course, there's all sorts of biosecurity concerns.
Yeah.
The people are actually going to jail for 2 to 3 years for smuggling it into the country because there's all sorts of concerns about foot and mouth and all sorts of other diseases.
Smuggling's a big issue.
Yeah. It is, but what do you reckon?
My brother, he's on exchange at the moment. He wasn't allowed to take Vegemite over to the United States.
Wow.
Got taken off him, yeah.
Wow, there you go. Well, lucky he wasn't smuggling any pig semen. Could you just imagine, like, if there's a mix up and you get the wrong shampoo bottle?
Oh, I think it's time for another tune. This is Limit of Love by Boy and Bear. You're listening to James, Trisha, and Brendan on Sin. That was Glitter by Benny, and that wraps up another show for today. We've spoken about a bit of sport and, in the end, a bit of pig semen. And listen to some fresh tracks from Safia and Dean Lewis. Brendan is absolutely wetting himself. You can find our interviews with Odyssey S and the boys from Hang On To Your Hangers on Spotify and Omni not long after the show. And on that note, make sure you listen to the podcast. Will be very much appreciated. Trisha unfortunately took out the ridiculous quiz and I had my daily rant, but make sure to tune in to Get Serial tomorrow, hosted by Luca and Ruben.
Look, can I just say here quickly, sorry to jump in, but can you please listen to the podcast, everyone, if you don't understand James' reference to pig semen, because it's not as weird as it sounds. I promise.
You should just listen to the podcast anyway, though.
Yeah, that's it. Get around our socials, by the way. Get Serial on Facebook or Instagram. Give it some love. Give it a like.
I think that's where we'll wrap up for today. Goodbye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.